is beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
It's so good to be with you here at Bible Home Church. I want to tell you how much I appreciate the letters that I receive from you. It seems that home churches are just not loved by governments of the world. Fidel Castro doesn't seem to enjoy and appreciate the home churches of Cuba. And over in China, they're really persecuting home churches, the Sudan and Africa, many other countries. Christians are being persecuted today. Friends, I want you to be aware of that. You say, now what good does it do, Tex, for you to give us a laundry list of home church people that are being persecuted, afflicted by their own governments, thrown in jail, tortured, tormented? Well, I tell you, there's a lot of good reasons. First of all, pray for these people. When you read about what's happening to other Christians, I tell you the truth, my friends, I'm just stricken. My heart is broken over these people. We need to pray for them. When you see these things, pray for them. Another thing, I think we ought to be activists. And when you see countries like Red China or the Sudan, or you see Cuba or others that are tormenting and torturing and being unfair and discriminating against Christians in those countries, I beg you to write letters to the embassy. Yes, courteous letters, but letters in which you say, we appeal to you to stop this persecution of Christians in your country. Let them know that it's bad public relations. Let them know that you're going to be letting your senators and congressmen know about these atrocities they're committing about Christians in their home, against Christians in their home countries. And you're going to demand that our Congress not give foreign aid to any country, anywhere in the world, that persecutes Christians. You say, Tex, you're getting involved in politics. Well, I'm sorry, but you can just criticize me all you want to. But I think it's time we stood up as Christians and told these foreign nations, their leaders, and say, and we demand, you stop tormenting our brothers and sisters. Stop it. In the name of God. In the name of justice and mercy. And if you don't, the least thing we're going to do is to ask our government to put sanctions against you. Some kind of economic sanctions against you. Diplomatic sanctions. You say, Tex, you've gone too far now? Well, I hadn't even started, friends. Because that's what we're going to have to do. And I think it's only right. You know, my friends, to sit by in silence is so cowardly. You don't want to do that, do you? Now, I'm not asking you to bomb anybody. I'm not asking you to demonstrate on street corners with signs, although the demonstrations wouldn't be a bad idea in some case. I'm simply saying, at least let your voice be heard. Write letters to the editor. You'll never know. You see, these embassies, they report back. Their consuls, their ambassadors report back to the home countries. And if they get letters from one person, if they get a letter from just you alone at an embassy, they assume there must be thousands of other people out there that think the same way about their country, but have not taken the time to write. And the more letters they get, the more we militate and agitate and do what we can to complain and let our voices be heard, the more will get done. I'm telling you, I would like to give you a list of all the Christians that have been let out of prison because the light of truth came forward from fellow Christians around the world who raised their voices up against these injustices. Well, that's what we do. One of the things we do at Bible Home Church. Well, I'll tell you another thing we do. We always have some beautiful music for you. And we have been having the last few weeks, our good friend, Brother Johnny Ray Watson, he has a voice of gold. You know, even the streets are gold up in heaven. But he's already been given a little bit of gold in his vocal cards right here on earth. And we're going to have a song today, Pass Me Not. It's an old gospel hymn, Pass Me Not. This is John A. Ray Watson. And when we return in just a moment, we're going to continue our series entitled The Twisting of Scripture and the Assault on Bible Prophecy by the New Bible Versions. First, Brother John A. Ray Watson.
Gentle Savior, oh Lord, hear my humble cry. And while on us thou art called, Savior, do not pass me by, and I'm calling you Savior, oh Savior, oh Lord, hear
Matthew chapter 24 has one of the most beautiful scriptures about Jesus coming again. You know, it was his disciples that asked him about the signs of the last days and his coming again. And I just love Matthew 24. It's one of my favorite. Now, Luke has this and Mark has the same, you know, scriptural passages. But there seems to be something special about Matthew to me. I want to read to you the King James Bible. So you see, there he was sitting on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, and they asked him, you know, Lord, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? What a momentous question. We see he had just told about the total destruction of the great temple of Herod there in Jerusalem. Now, since this was such a magnificent edifice, I mean a tremendous building, the likes of which architects around the known world stood in amazement. And Jesus said not one stone will be left in place on this great temple. And this was an astonishment, no doubt, to those who heard Jesus' prophecy. First of all, I want to tell you that history books record that in 70 A.D., General Titus, the Roman general, he later became a Caesar. He came right in there and he destroyed the very temple. And to get at all the gold from the fires that occurred as the attacks transpired, and some of the gold from various the temple implements and vessels had turned to molten gold and had dripped and melted in between the stones. And to get at this gold that had melted and dripped in between the stones, the Romans ordered the soldiers to use laborers and to make sure that not one stone stood upon another. Tear them all apart and get out all the gold. Plus, they wanted to make an example of the temple. And to the Jews, who had been pesky rebels, and they had decided then to destroy this temple in the belief it could never be rebuilt again. What an amazing prophecy. Jesus had prophesied this very thing would occur. When his disciples asked of him, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Woo! I believe they were impressed and wanted to know the end of all things. Well, you see, they knew, the disciples knew, that all the way back to the time of Genesis, that the prophets of God were interested in the things of the future. What the scholars and the seminarians call eschatology, things of the future. What is going to happen? What is going to transpire? And can you imagine asking Jesus Christ, having the opportunity to be standing there with God himself in front of you and to say, "Lord, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming?" Now see, they were asking about the second coming because there he was with them. It's apparent that Jesus had already told them that he was going to have to go to the cross and die, but he would return again. And they're asking him, "What shall be the sign of thy coming then? And of the end of the world?" Oh, I'd love to have been there and asked Jesus that question, wouldn't you? Well, it is such a monumental question of such major importance. And that's why it breaks my heart to tell you the New American Standard Bible and the New International Version of the Bible both butcher this great passage. The NIV words it this way: "When will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" The New American Standard reads, "What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." End of the age. Is there a difference here in the new version between the end of the age and the end of the world? I'm convinced there is. Is there not a difference if somebody asks you, "What is the going to be the end of the age versus the end of the world?" You see, many people believe, many scholars teach, that there are various ages or dispensations of time that the Bible reveals. And some people believe we're in this age or that age. Some say we're now in the age of the Gentiles. But when the temple is rebuilt for a short period of time, the Gentile age will be finished and we will have a certain period. We'll be back in the age of the Jews again. Others talk about dispensations, and they divide up the Bible chronologically into various dispensations or ages. So to ask what will be the end of the age is far different than asking the end of the world. And the answer Jesus gave then could be dramatically different. Now, Jesus went on to give certain signs of the last days. Remember that? Wars and rumors of wars. There will be false Christ, men coming and saying, we are Christ. And Jesus said, believe them not. He said, when you see the destruction, you know, flee. All of these things. Jesus also said that the gospel would be preached to the whole world, all the nations, and then shall the end come. What end? The King James says, end of the world. But the other versions, especially the New American Standard, and there are many other versions that repeat this era, talk about the end of the age. Not too long ago, I'm not going to mention any names because you'll, you know, get confused about the name, but I saw one of the top prophecy teachers on television, on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and he read from the New American Standard, and he read that the disciples said, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And then this person said, so we can see at the end of the age, these things are going to happen. And he gave a little laundry list from Matthew 24. And I wanted to scream out, no, 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 not from the end of the age. From the end of, at the end of the world, these things will occur. But of course, you can't scream and holler at a TV, can you? But, well, you can. You say you do? My friend, well, some of us do that. Some of us go further. We grab a big stick or something and hit the screen. Well, I'm not advocating anything like that. I'm just trying to point out that it got me a little bit upset and righteously indignant that this falsehood was being taught. You see, it wouldn't profit us much to know about the end of the age, but it certainly would be profitable to discover the signs of the end of the world. What will the things be to signify the end of the world as we know this world? You know, Peter talked about that. Many will be scoffers in the last days and mock the truth. And they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the days of our fathers, all things remain the same. And he said in this, they are willingly ignorant. Did you know that Peter actually says in the Bible, you read both 1st and 2nd Peter, you discover that Peter says that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth because this earth is going to melt and be consumed and be destroyed, and God is going to create a new earth and a new heaven even. There will be an end of the world. It won't just be the age. I heard another prophecy teacher. He's one of the most popular on Trinity Broadcasting Network, and his wife sits there with him, and they pontificate on news events of the week or whatever. And I heard him talk about the end of the age. Sorry, it made me sick to hear him quote from the New American Standard rather than the King James. And then I heard him say, and don't think that you're going to go off to heaven and be carried up, you know, in a rapture or catching up. The fact is, we're going to stay right here on earth and build this earth. Because it's only the end of the age, not the end of the world. And I thought, this man is so mixed up. It obviously comes from reading the wrong Bible. Well, we turn from Matthew chapter 24 to Revelation chapter 2, verse 23. Here is an incredible thing. This is the letter to the seven churches. And let me tell you, the letter to the seven churches, this is some powerful scriptural prophecies. Now, I'm going to read to you. I wish I had time to read that whole passage, all of chapter 2. You've got to read it. Because God tells what's going to happen to these seven churches in the last days. And I believe these are types of churches. Some people say each one is of a church during a certain age of time. I believe that's true too, but I believe in every age there have been these types of churches, each one with certain flaws, and a few of them, praise God, with certain strengths that God recognizes. But to this particular church, God had a warning that if they didn't straighten up, as we used to say when I was a kid, my old dad told me, straighten up and fly right. Well, God says, if you don't straighten up and fly right, now that's Tex Moore's version, don't listen to me exactly. Read it for yourself, Revelation 2. He says this, that there will be a great punishment. He says in the King James, and I will kill her children with death. Oh, my friends, did you know that if you allow this horrible a teaching into your church that God talks about in Revelation 2. I could give a whole sermon on that. He says, I will kill her children. That's the children of this particular church. Her children with death. Now let's look at the NIV and let's read what it says. A little bit different. King James again, I will kill her children with death. NIV, I will strike her children dead. Now let me explain something to you. It's very apparent that there's death and then there's death. It's one thing to die in the body. But Jesus said, my friends, he said, fear not he who can kill the body, but fear he alone who can kill the body and the soul by sending it to hell. That's the true death. And my friends, let me tell you, it's bad enough to kill a child or to murder a child. But if you kill that child spiritually, that child is dead. The NIV is talking here about some kind of a physical death, and I will strike her children dead. But let me tell you, the King James is talking about the spiritual death, the only one that matters. And the NIV translators totally lost the significance. Then we get to the American Standard. It says, and I will kill her children with pestilence. Well, now we've changed everything. What is pestilence? You look up in your Webster's Dictionary, and it means disease. It means destruction of crops by vermin and mice and insects. Pestilence, disease, bacteria, viruses, etc. Is that what it really says? The King James says, I will kill her children with death. That means you teach the wrong things in your churches and your children will die spiritually. And that is an eternal punishment. Even the NIV doesn't mess up so much as the American Standard, which says, and I will kill her children with pestilence. My goodness gracious, how they have butchered the word of God. God was not talking at all there about sending diseases or whatever to kill the children. He was talking about a spiritual destiny. Well, we run out of time today. It's been great to be with you. This is Pastor Tex Mars. May God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.